Chapter 133, Dreams. It was an hour's work to drive the wagons into a thick piece of forest and hide them. I destroyed their edema markings and unhitched the horses. There was only one saddle, so I loaded the other two horses with food and whatever other portable valuables I could find. When I returned with the horses, Kryn and Ellie were waiting for me. More precisely, Kryn was waiting. Ellie was merely standing nearby, her expression vacant, her eyes empty. "Do you know how to ride?" I asked Kryn. She nodded, and I handed her the reins to the saddled horse. She got one foot in the stirrup and stopped, shaking her head. She brought her foot back down slowly. "I'll walk." "Do you think Ellie would stay on a horse?" Kryn looked over to where the blonde girl was standing. One of the horses nuzzled her curiously and got no response.
"Probably, but I don't think it would be good for her, after..."
I nodded in understanding. "We'll all walk, then."
"What is the heart of the Lathani?" I asked Vashet.
"Success and right action."
"Which is the more important, success or rightness?"
"They are the same. If you act rightly, success follows."
"But others may succeed by doing wrong things," I pointed out.
"Wrong things never lead to success," Vashet said firmly. "If a man acts wrongly and succeeds, that is not the way. Without the Lathani, there is no true success."
"Sir?" a voice called.
"Sir?"
My eyes focused on Kryn. Her hair was windblown, her young face tired. She looked at me timidly.
"Sir, it's getting dark."
I looked around and saw twilight creeping in from the east. I was bone-weary and had fallen into a walking doze after we had stopped for lunch at midday.
"Just call me Kvothe, Kryn."
"Thanks for jogging my elbow."
My mind was somewhere else.
Kryn gathered wood and started a fire. I unsaddled the horses, then fed and rubbed them down. I took a few minutes to set up the tent, too. Normally, I don't bother with such things, but there had been room for it on the horses, and I guessed the girls weren't used to sleeping out of doors. After I finished with the tent, I realized I'd only brought one extra blanket from the troop's supplies. There would be a chill tonight, too, if I was any judge of such things.
"Dinner's ready,"
I heard Kryn call. I tossed my blanket and the spare one into the tent and headed back to where she was finishing up. She'd done a good job with what was available. Potato soup with bacon and toasted bread. There was a green summer squash nestled into the coals as well.
Ellie worried me.
She had been the same all day, walking listlessly, never speaking or responding to anything Kryn or I said to her. Her eyes would follow things, but there was no thought behind them. Kryn and I had discovered the hard way that if left to herself she would stop walking or wander off the road if something caught her eye. Kryn handed me a bowl and spoon as I sat down.
"It smells good,"
I complimented her. She half-smiled and dished a second bowl for herself. She started to fill a third bowl, then hesitated, realizing Ellie couldn't feed herself.
"Would you like some soup, Ellie?"
I asked in normal tones.
"It smells good."
She sat blankly by the fire, staring into nothing.
"Do you want to share mine?"
I asked, as if it were the most natural thing in the world. I moved closer to her and blew on a spoonful to cool it.
"Here you go."
Ellie ate it mechanically, turning her head slightly in my direction, toward the spoon. Her eyes reflected the dancing patterns of the fire. They were like the windows of an empty house. I blew on another spoonful and held it out to the blonde girl. She opened her mouth only when the spoon touched her lips. I moved my head, trying to see past the dancing firelight in her eyes, desperately hoping to see something behind them. Anything.
"I bet you're an L, aren't you?"
I said conversationally. I looked at Kryn. "Short for Ellie?" Kryn shrugged helplessly.
"We weren't friends, really. She's just Ellie Anwater, the mayor's daughter."
"It sure was a long walk today."
I continued, speaking in the same easy tone. "How do your feet feel, Kryn?" Kryn continued to watch me with her serious dark eyes.
"A little sore."
"Mine too. I can't wait to get my shoes off."
"Are your feet sore, Al?"
No response. I fed her another bite.
"It was pretty hot, too. It should cool off tonight, though. Good sleeping weather. Won't that be nice, Al?"
No response. Kryn continued to watch me from the other side of the fire. I took a bite of soup for myself.
"This is truly fine, Kryn," I said earnestly, then turned back to the vacant girl.
"It's a good thing we have Kryn to cook for us, Al. Everything I cook tastes like horse shit."
On her side of the fire, Kryn tried to laugh with a mouthful of soup, with predictable results. I thought I saw a flicker in Al's eyes.
"If I had some horse apples, I could make us a horse apple pie for dessert," I offered.
"I could make some tonight if you want."
I trailed off, making it a question. Al gave the slightest frown. A small wrinkle creased her forehead.
"You're probably right," I said. "It wouldn't be very good."
"Would you like more soup instead?"
The barest nod. I gave her a spoonful.
"It's a little salty, though. You probably want some water."
Another nod. I handed her the water skin, and she lifted it to her own lips. She drank for a long, long minute. She was probably parched from our long walk today. I would have to watch her more closely tomorrow to make sure she drank enough.
"Would you like a drink, Kryn?"
"Yes, please," Kryn said, her eyes fixed on Elle's face.
Moving automatically, Elle held the water skin out toward Kryn, holding it directly over the fire with the shoulder strap dragging in the coals. Kryn grabbed it quickly, then added a belated,
"Thank you, Elle."
I kept the slow stream of conversation going through the whole meal. Elle fed herself toward the end of it, and though her eyes were clearer, it was as if she were looking at the world through a sheet of frosted glass, seeing but not seeing. Still, it was an improvement. After she ate two bowls of soup and half a loaf of bread, her eyes began to bob closed.
"Would you like to go to sleep, Al?" I asked.
A more definite nod.
"Should I carry you to the tent?"
Her eyes snapped open at this, and she shook her head firmly.
"Maybe Kryn would help you get ready for bed if you asked her."
Elle turned to look in Kryn's direction. Her mouth moved in a vague way. Kryn darted a glance at me and I nodded.
"Let's go and get tucked in then," Kryn said, sounding every bit the older sister.
She came over and took Elle's hand, helping her to her feet. As they went into the tent, I finished off the soup and ate a piece of bread that had been too badly burnt for either of the girls. Before too long, Kryn came back to the fire.
"Is she sleeping?" I asked.
"Before she hit the pillow. Do you think she'll be all right?"
She was in deep shock. Her mind had stepped through the doors of madness to protect itself from what was happening.
"It's probably just a matter of time," I said tiredly, hoping it was the truth.
"The young heal quickly." I chuckled humorlessly as I realized she was probably only about a year younger than me. I felt every year twice tonight, some of them three times. Despite the fact that I felt covered in lead, I forced myself to my feet and helped Kryn clean the dishes. I sensed her growing unease as we finished cleaning up and repicketing the horses to a fresh piece of grazing. The tension grew worse as we approached the tent. I stopped and held the flap open for her.
"I'll sleep out here tonight."
Her relief was tangible.
"Are you sure?"
I nodded. She slipped inside, and I let the flap fall closed behind her. Her head poked out almost immediately, followed by a hand holding a blanket. I shook my head.
"You'll need them both."
"There'll be a chill tonight." I pulled my shade around me and lay directly in front of the tent. I didn't want Elle wandering out during the night and getting lost or hurt.
"Won't you be cold?"
"I'll be fine," I said. I was tired enough to sleep on a running horse. I was tired enough to sleep under a running horse.
Kryn ducked her head back into the tent. Soon, I heard her nestling into the blankets. Then everything was quiet. I remembered the startled look on Otto's face as I cut his throat. I heard Aleg struggle weakly and curse me as I dragged him back to the wagons. I remembered the blood, the way it had felt against my hands, the thickness of it. I had never killed anyone like that before. Not coldly, not close up. I remembered how warm their blood had been. I remembered the way Kate had cried as I stalked her through the woods.
"It was them or me!" she had screamed hysterically. "I didn't have a choice! It was them or me!"
I lay awake a long while. When I finally slept, the dreams were worse.